Blog Talk Radio.
From Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, it is the one and the only Scary Cast, and it's great to be here tonight. I'm Dr. John Stamey. We've got a fantastic and interesting show for everybody. But before we get to that, let me introduce my co-hosts. First of all, from the Midlands of South Carolina, the one and only Dr. Trey Dunaway. How are you doing tonight, Trey?
Hey, John, I'm doing fine. Happy to be here with y'all.
We're glad you're here with us tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then from the Midlands of South Carolina as well, the one and only queen of Scarycast, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I am doing good. Ready for the show.
Well, good. We're glad to have you here. And from somewhere near the Savannah River Project, in Augusta, Georgia, which is apparently the new home of the South Carolina Lizard Man, from what I hear, one and only Chris Chastain. Chris, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, John, I'm doing fantastic. I'm glad to be on. It's my favorite night of the week.
Well, it's always my favorite night of the week, although Thursday night's getting pretty close now with Growing Up Haunted, and we got a lot of fun there every week. But anyway, it's good to have everybody here. The first thing that I wanted to do is I had to bail on Chris Chastain. My plan was to be over in the Georgia area and go down to see the premiere of Renfield, that new movie, which is somewhat loosely based on Bram Stoker's Dracula and character Renfield. And I wanted to ask Chris if he would take a few minutes and tell us just a little bit about the movie and how was it. Take 3 or 4 minutes, if you would, Chris, and tell us about it, because I know we got a lot of Dracula fans out there. We just do. And I love Dwight Fry played the character Renfield. So tell us a little bit about it, Chris.
Absolutely. All right, Dracula fans, get ready for this. So, all right, put aside any of the reviews and any of the stuff you've read online. So my honest opinion, we went and saw this yesterday, and I'm a vampire junkie. I love a good vampire movie, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And this is not going to be your 1931 Bela Lugosi type vampire movie, although there are some similarities, and there's some Easter eggs hidden throughout the movie that you might recognize. But this particular movie is going to yank you back and forth between horror and comedy. So if you remember the movie from the 90s with Leslie Nielsen, Dracula Dead and Loving It, kind of like that. This one a little bit darker. It's definitely got the blood and gore to it. One thing, not to give too much of the movie away, but it is loosely based on Bram Stoker's Dracula and also the actual 1931 film with Bela Lugosi. So there is a flashback scene that takes us back to the original movie where you would see Bela Lugosi, standing there welcoming Renfield to the castle, but it's got Nicolas Cage's face on it, on Bela Lugosi. So I thought that was really, really clever. Nicolas Cage, to me, I think he did a phenomenal job as Dracula. He's a little bit angrier than some of the Draculas I've seen in the past, you know, from the 1992 film, and then we've got the Christopher Lee Draculas. This one, he's kind of in a bad mood for a lot of the movie. The makeup and the look of the vampire I thought was just absolutely fantastic. If you remember the movie 30 Days of Night, the vampires had the really jagged, you know, shark-like teeth. And I've never seen Dracula done that way before, but I think they nailed it. So he's got the big teeth. He's got the creepy eyes. And when he puts the suit on and the cape, he looks a lot like what we think of as the original Dracula. So I won't spoil the plot, but we're going past when they left the homeland to come to the United States. They end up in New Orleans. Don't get any of the Mina, Lucy, Jonathan Harker. We skip all of that. Dracula has gone on a few rampages, you know, thirsty for power and gotten himself into trouble over and over again, and they're in New Orleans. So I will leave it at that. You see a side of Renfield that I've not seen in the past movies. A little more badass than what we've seen before. So very good movie. I highly encourage if you're a Dracula fan, if you're a vampire fan, go give this one a shot. I think there's a lot of room. They could do a prequel. There could be a sequel to spin off of it. I was very impressed.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I'm glad that it did get a good review from somebody, because, boy, it didn't seem to get much of a good review from a lot of film critics. But just wanted to let everybody know that Renfield is out.
Yeah.
We love. I'm a big Dracula junkie, and I guess if they put it in New Orleans, that is the taste of Anne Rice and Interview with a Vampire. So don't forget that. All right.
Yep.
Well, thanks a lot, Chris, for that. Just I wanted to let everybody know what was going on with that was kind of a big deal for ScaryCast fans. And now, Robin, the Queen of ScaryCast, is going to tell us a little bit about some stuff that is coming up. She was, of course, keynote speaker at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and we've got a few things to talk about there. But then we also have some stuff to talk about coming up with the Nebraska Bigfoot Conference. So, Robin, tell us a little bit about the Nebraska Bigfoot Conference and what that's all going to be about. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sorry I can't get there this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Thursday, it's actually going to be a three-day event. On Thursday, we have the grand opening of the new parts of the Bigfoot Crossroads Village Museum. And so that will be on Thursday. And then John Hann, I'm sorry, I've got a problem over here.
Okay.
I'm coming. I'm sorry, we have an emergency here. And it will be on Thursday, and then Friday we have a conference, and Saturday. And I'm going to ask my wonderful husband to take over for me tonight because we have an emergency right now. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, that's fine. Hey, Pat McCray, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, we're
how's it going?
We're always glad to have one of the McCrays here, I'll tell you that. So anyway, thanks for subbing in for Robin. I hope all is well. And anyway, so last year, what's the show about? Nebraska Bigfoot Conference. But anyway, so we now have an experienced Bigfoot researcher and explorer in Pat McCray. And so, Pat, we're going to tap you tonight to talk a little bit about Bigfoot and some of your adventures with the big guy. Can you do that for us?
Oh, yeah. What do you guys want to know?
We've got quite a few experiences.
Well, actually, John, may I ask a question up front?
You certainly can.
You know, last time we had Robin on as a host, we were talking about how when her first paranormal experiences began, and I asked, are people just born with it and that's it, or can you develop this as an older person who did not have it as a child, as Robin and so many others do? And she cited Pat in particular, that it was developed, but it didn't develop from childhood per se. So, Pat, if I could just jump back an episode or two ago when we left that question with Robin, how did you develop, or what did you notice when you developed an ability that most people don't have, whatever that might be? And how did that evolve over time?
I've always had things happen. Like, I mean, I explain this on other shows too. I'd go into Walmart and I'd get this unending feeling that somebody that I knew from work was at Walmart. And sure enough, there they were. And to me, it would happen all the time. I mean, stuff like that. Just little stuff here or there. You know, like I would watch a football game and see it in my mind and tell my brother about it, and then it happens right there while he's sitting there. And it got to be, it would happen, and I would just like, oh, well, you know, hey, that's kind of neat. In a way, it just happened, and, you know, and I just kind of not really blow it off. I just forget about it.
Well, Pat, how old were you when the first episode of however you describe the experience?
I would go up in my attic sometimes. I don't know what was up there. This is on our old house where I was a kid in. I told Robin this, and I'd see that it's really weird. I see bloody, gory things in my mind. I'm sitting there, and it was really disturbing. And I think that, and thinking about it, was my first mind, maybe one of my first minds, you know, telepathy or something like that. Because I had no idea what it was.
How old were you when that happened?
I was maybe 12 or something like that, and I had no idea, you know, what telepathy was, and, you know, if I did, then I guess I'd be one up on everybody else, but I didn't. I didn't realize it. And then I would be out in a parking lot. I remember this. I was at Taco Bell one day, and my boss was in a truck. I didn't see him or anything like that, but it got into my mind that he was close by. And I go, he's over here somewhere. And there he was. He's in the truck right over there. I'm sitting there, you know, I go, it happened again, you know? Before I got into the Bigfoot stuff, I got into this thing, and I did find out later that it was true, that there's energy in a picture. And I don't know how I got this monkey on my back, but I did. And it just wouldn't leave. I kept looking at a picture, and something told me, and something got me interested in it, that there was energy in that picture. And Robin showed me one day, there was a book, and it had a picture of a hotel. And I could, her and me, she goes, did you hear that? It was screaming. And I said, yeah, I can hear some screaming. And the picture of that hotel, there was a fire in there, and people were screaming to get out. And I'm telling you, there is energy in that picture. I just don't believe that it's like some catalyst that, you know, well, if you look at it, it's going to remind you of it. Well, if it reminds you of it and you're talking to that being or whatever who, you know, you draw some energy and you hear the people screaming in the hotel, there's got to be energy in that picture. So then I come up to where I'm at kind of now, and all these abilities and stuff, it's not like it happens overnight. And now I said this on another show, it's like a progression. So I mean, for example, you know, you've got telepathy and stuff like that. And for example, when you're first, you'll hear somebody talking or something like that. But I noticed later on that I could know when somebody was talking to me, it would be like almost like a download. I mean, I knew within a couple of, it was a millisecond what they were talking about. Exactly. I mean, it's really odd. I mean, it's like conscious communication. It's not even like telepathy. It's like you're there. And it's like an instant download to your mind. It's slick as snot. I mean, it's cool. And
when that happens, are you able to tell the person you're talking to what you just experienced or what you now understand from that download experience? And
what do you mean?
Have you ever? Well, so if you were talking to someone and you got the download and you got certain information from that experience, can you relate some of that to that person to see if that's
to who I'm talking to?
The case? Yes.
Well, I'm usually talking to, I mean, you know, you got to, usually it's like a Bigfoot or something like that, or I've talked to, you know, other beings, you know, Job, and you're asking if I can talk back to them. Of course, I can. I mean, it's a two-way communication.
When you were a youngster, when you were 12, when this first happened, did you ever talk to your parents about it? Did either of your parents have an ability like this? Is it familial?
My grandma and my brother told me this, and I didn't know this. She would sit on the bed, and she'd be talking to, just talking to someone, like, he didn't know who it was. And just like talk, you know, like I'm talking here, but she's alone in the bedroom. She's talking to someone. And that's what he told me. I think I got this from my grandma. That's
okay,
my opinion,
now,
Robin's opinion.
Yeah, now, Pat, this is Dr. John. I have got a burning question now for you. You say that you have spoken with Job. The biblical figure, Job?
No, Job, yeah, Job is an interdimensional friend. We first met Job. I was in my old car, and Job, he was in the back seat, and he physically said his name. He sounds like a cartoon character, and he said his name, and then, I mean, instinctively, I asked, I said, well, you know, who is this? And then he told me who it was. And I asked Robin, she said that something was after him. So we let him stay in the house. And he was in the house staying. And I think he probably went back home. And then one day we're in the car driving, and Job is up on the dashboard. And Robin saw him, and he jumped off the dashboard, went in between the seats, and went in the back seat, and you can physically see stuff jumping up and down or going up and moving and stuff in the back seat because we had some boxes back there, and you can physically see it move.
Now, did you tell me that Job was kind of a small, smallish kind of fellow?
Yeah, he's okay. One day, Robin's seen him too, and I saw him. So one day, I'm out in the living room, kind of just sitting in a chair, and I doze off, and I literally feel like I'm floating. And then all of a sudden, I'm on a ship. You can see through the window. And then I look over, and Job is jumping toward my face. And then I wake up. Job has, like, these bulbs on the end of his fingers. And he kind of looks like a small monkey. And he's green. Job's green, isn't he? Yeah. What color is he? Robin says a brownish green color. I didn't really see him that well. I know I saw the bulbs on his fingers. And the minute he was jumping toward my face, I woke up. So I guess he wanted me to see him, and I did.
Okay, Pat, that's interesting. And now I've got another question for you. You say that he is an interdimensional friend of yours, correct?
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. Now, I think many of us are familiar with the fact that the humans only see a very small part of the entire spectrum of reality and only hear a small spectrum of the part of the audio reality. Now, would you say Job kind of lies outside of the standard reality that we can that our limited eyes and ears can see and hear?
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, I mean everything is energy and vibration. Now, when I was at the Nebraska conference, that was last year, we slept in the basement of Harriet's, and he was there, and he physically, everybody's walking up the stairs, nobody else heard him. He's physically there, and I can't remember what he said, but he said something, and he sounds exactly like a cartoon character. That's the only way I could describe it.
Okay. Has he given you any information or knowledge that we would consider interesting?
Now, what? What'd you say?
I said, has he given you any knowledge or information? I mean, I sound like I'm on a game show. Has he given you any information or knowledge that we would consider interesting?
No, to know if he's around, I ask him, and it's either he'll say Job home or Job there or with you, and he's here with me now. He just said Job with you. And, I mean, if they don't want to make themselves known or something like that, that's okay. I mean, and like I said, everything is energy and vibration, okay? If you're vibrating at a certain level and it's a higher level, nobody's going to see you because you're vibrating at a higher level and a higher plane. I mean, I honestly believe, okay, so when somebody that is in a higher vibration, it's possible that they see us and we're standing still. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes sense. I see it on shows, And that does make sense. You know, like, you know, they're going around you and stuff like that, and you would figure if they're faster than you at a higher vibration that they'll run rings around you.
Okay, that's interesting. Chris, do you have any comments or questions for Pat?
Yeah, I did have a question, and I don't know if you know the answer, or I just love to hear your opinion, Pat. But you talk about people being at a higher vibration, where you're able to, you know, hear and see things like this. So I know Robin has talked before about, you know, ways to raise your vibration, and do you think, or maybe you know, that, you know, sometimes you're just having a really, really bad day and, you know, our attitudes go sour and just not in a good mood. Do you think that our vibration is something that goes up and down? So, you know, if you're off, if things are bothering you, does it turn you off from being able to communicate with, you know, the ones that you normally are able to hear or see, like Job, for instance?
That's a very good question. And I'll tell you that when I'm tired and stuff like that, sometimes when I'm tired, I just really kind of do not, you're just tired. It's just like anything, but I can still communicate. I mean, I can. It's just, you know, when you do telepathy, and when I first started doing it, the most I had was when Bigfoot was talking to me about what was happening in the world today. And he must have talked to me mentally for probably maybe an hour and a half or something like that while I was driving. And, you know, after that, I was kind of mentally tapped, because it does, when you first do it, it does, for an extended period of time, it taps you. And you're kind of tired and stuff like that from it.
Gotcha.
Okay.
What are the things you want to know?
Pat, when you mind speak, is it a similar voice? Is it different, as an individual would be different? What voices do you hear when you mind speak? But it's not really even a voice, is it? In other words, if you're mind speaking with one individual, and you mind speak with another individual, is there a... can you recognize the difference between the two, whether it's not really auditory, I guess, but it's the vibration?
No,
can you tell the difference between two different people when you mind speak?
The thing is when I asked a Bigfoot that I talked to a lot, I go, how can I tell? And I've talked to a couple of them like this, and I just do it automatically. But he says you have to feel when to know who you're talking to. You need to feel them.
So
and
the,
that's
the differentiation through feeling that. Have you been able to develop
that
ability?
Feeling
so you
that
feel?
You just know. Yeah, you just know. It's hard to describe, and I always say this: you don't know this stuff until you're in it, and when you're in it, you get it. You just do. I mean, that's how I can only explain it, but you know, you just know. And it's hard to explain, but like the other day I was like, I don't know who this was, and maybe it's a Bigfoot, but like lately, okay, I'm hearing random chatter or whatever. And I asked, I said, what is this? who is that talking? And then something talks back. It says, that is what they are, is they are random thoughts from people like you that you're hearing in your mind. You're reading basically someone else's thoughts coming through.
So you're on the same frequency or vibration or whatever, and that's allowing
I imagine
you to tap
so,
into
yeah.
that conversation or thought.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I hear conversations and, you know, of people talking. Like today at work. Today at work, okay, I talk about the zone, right? And, you know, sometimes at work we don't have any, there's not much to do. So I'm on my forklift today and I doze off and I hear people talking. I've told Robin this. I hear this all the time. It's not the people that are next to me either, because it doesn't sound like them at all. They have southern accents. The people that basically are talking don't have southern accents at all. And I hear people talking. It's really weird, really odd and weird. And I'll be at home, and I'll doze off, and I'll hear people talking. Really odd.
Are you able to communicate with
get that
people?
A lot?
Or are you able to communicate with them in any way, or just
no,
is it just a one way passage of information?
Well, no, I just hear it. I mean, I wake up, you know, from whatever, you know, the zone thing. You know, like I was asleep at my dad's house one day, and I got into the zone, and I heard a dog went outside the window. And he was going after, he must have been guarding me. He was going after something that was outside the window. And it didn't fare too well, whatever it was, because I heard the screams and it was gone.
Well, Pat, legend has it, and experiences that we have been able to determine, the dog man is absolutely ferocious and terrifying. So if dog man gets after something, it's gone. That's why I was joking with Chris earlier today. I said, Chris, if I could get us a guided tour of Land Between the Lakes, and he said, I'm just still not sure about that, John. It's a little too scary. Right, Chris?
No.
Exactly.
They told me that, like, the Land Between the Lakes, I talked to a dogman, and they said, you know, they keep coming, and, you know, they need to stay out of our area. And, you know, if you want to go ahead and risk it going up there, you know, I mean, I guess go ahead and try it, but it's a risk going up there because they mean business.
Yes, they do. And they're terrifying. And it's really interesting. Lyle Blackburn has written a number of books. He is absolutely more of a writer and a guy that chronicles things than he is a boots on the ground kind of guy. But in his book, Momo, he got a lot of stories together about weird creatures that people have seen in the middle of the United States. And these are things from like, 1800 to 1950. And what he's done is a lot of people have really seen strange things. And so many people want to discount these stories. When, I mean, frankly, they have no reason to discount them. They weren't there. That's what Dr. Sally Ryan Feather, she, you know, who wrote the book The Gift, and she wrote that while I was at the Ryan Research Institute, while I was getting my doctorate. And she said, you know, John, these people that want to poo-poo all these stories, well, they just weren't there. I mean, they've got no reason to do it. She said to me, I don't see what gives them the chutzpah to say you're lying when they weren't there. And I like that. And she also said that if somebody will take the time and the trouble to give you a story, whether it's by phone or whether they write you a letter and put a stamp on it, the fact that they took all that time to do it gives it a lot of weight and gives it a lot of respect. And that's something she told me, and that has stuck with me forever. So it's like growing up on it, our new Thursday night show on number one paranormal network, Scarycast Network. I mean, if someone will go to the trouble to get on that show and talk to me and old Chris Chastain or Kyler Smith or Ryan Trembley, if someone will take the time to get on there and talk to us about it, that gives a little bit of veracity to the story. It just does. I mean, and it's like my attorney. I had my attorney, Marshall Biddle, on Scarycast. And he came on this show, very respected attorney out of Horry County in Myrtle Beach. And he told the greatest, pardon my grammar, the greatest damn ghost story. It was wonderful. And I am going next week to his mother's house to see where all this happened. And she has told him, I want you to bring this guy, John, there to see all this. I mean, there's a lot of open disclosure that people like to go through about these ghost stories. And there's no reason to bash them and say it didn't happen, because if you weren't there, you don't know. And Pat, could you at least comment on the fact that if you weren't there, you don't know? And do you kind of agree with me and Dr. Sally Ryan Feather and Marshall Biddle's mother, if you weren't there, don't bash it? Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. These are your experiences. And, you know, what I say on these shows is it's not going on and giving you a hokey and pokey story. It's basically a real account of what I experienced, or, you know, telepathy, stuff like that. I mean, it's real. That's
right.
All I got
now,
to say. I mean, that's all you can say.
Right. And Dr. Trey, without divulging several of the stories that you have told me, I think one reason that we're friends and that we discuss the paranormal is you have seen evidence of belief in the paranormal with people in and around some of your patients. And do you mind at least acknowledging that belief?
Yeah. I'm a Western trained physician, and I am skeptical about anything that I don't understand the science to. That said, there are things in the world that I don't understand that I can't discount when somebody else feels something. Feelings are intensely internal and personal, and I can't appreciate it, but they can. So I'm never quick to doubt somebody. You know, a lot of times physicians, if whatever they're hearing doesn't fit into their frame of reference and standard parameters, they'll just say they're crazy. You know, it hurts here. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. You're crazy. No, that just means you haven't figured it out. I was always reticent to just write somebody off as just being crazy, which is why they have a pain that I couldn't figure out. No, it's just I can't figure out the pain. It doesn't mean that it's not there. So I think in that term, the paranormal, just because I can't experience doesn't mean somebody else can't. That's all. I don't know enough. I don't know enough to prove or disprove it. But I've had enough opportunities on this show to talk to people that I didn't see any secondary gain. I have met some people on this show that I thought were 100% secondary gain. They were in it for the money. They were in it for notoriety. They were in it for driving a revenue stream. And that's why I think they say what they say. But I've also met people who are very reticent to say something. When they've come on this show, they have not been a paid guest. They are coming, and sometimes we have to tease out a story from them because they simply don't feel comfortable talking about it, because often they have self-doubt. What I experienced, am I nuts? Or because it's happened more than once, does this mean I'm totally nuts? Or is it just something that maybe by talking about it, especially with people like Robin and Pat that, and you, John, that have are tuned to some of this, are they going to be able to give me some information that I was missing? When they talk to me, they get nothing other than sarcasm and humor, but because I don't have that ability at all. But I have talked to people that have had no reason to tell me stories, for no secondary gain, and the matter-of-factness of it, and the fact that sometimes it's not extraordinary. I mean, it's not like, you know, I had this premonition and I won the lottery and here's the numbers and, oh, wow, what a story. No, it's not like that. It's like I keep seeing something, and I don't know if it, I didn't think it was real to begin with, but I have seen it so many times now that I can't discount it. For them, it's 100% real, and I don't necessarily think it's in their minds. Now, you know, there are people who are schizophrenic and hear voices and see things that nobody else can see, and they are just not. You don't determine that easily, because that's their experience.
Well, I know, but when you look at somebody that hears voices and stuff like that, now, are they sick, or are they wide open and they're hearing this stuff? You see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's that possibility that maybe they're not
experience.
Sick, but they're hearing it. Yeah.
Right. Right. But I've also
and they're
seen
so
that
attuned and wide open, you know, that
yes,
they can't shut it off.
But I've also seen patients that are clearly not right. I mean, they're just right.
Yeah.
So where does that line, where do you draw that line? And I think that a lot of people are very reticent to talk about their paranormal experiences because they're afraid of the stigmata that's associated with mental illness, and they might think people would think they're mentally disturbed when they're not. They just can experience something nobody else can. It's like when you said, Pat, when you get a feeling that it's one entity or another. And after, when you're doing it, you just know. Well, it would be like telling a deaf person what sound sounds like. How do you describe that? You can't. But if you have hearing that works as a sense, you can differentiate my voice from John's voice, to Chris's voice, or Pat's voice, or Robin's voice. If Robin comes in, we know that's Robin because we recognize her voice. Well, in the same token, when you are picking up on energy patterns and vibrations and these feelings, because how else could you describe it, you know, you have that ability to differentiate from one voice, as the loosest term, to another voice.
I used to say this is, how do you think a feeling, you know?
Right.
And I always tell myself, well, how do I do that? How do I think a feeling? And I was talking to a young Bigfoot, and, you know, I was kind of frustrated. I said, well, hey, you know, how do I have trouble discerning and who is who and stuff like that? And he did something to me, and he says, hey, and he goes, he says the thing that he did, it made me think that I do it automatically, and I don't even think about it, you know? And I probably read and I see energy. I know I see energy. I see Bigfoot. I mean, there was a Bigfoot at work the other day. I mean, he was the one that we talked to a lot, and he showed up there. I saw him. And the minute I saw him, I said, hey, that looks like him. And it was. Because he puts, maybe he implants that in your mind that it is him. Or,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, again,
well,
like
a lot
describing...
of the, what to say, you're at the beginning, you're talking about, you know, progression. I was talking about progression of abilities and stuff like that. And, you know, and the thing is, it happens like innocently, you know, like, for example, you know, I'd look at a footprint, a picture of a footprint, a Bigfoot footprint. And I got, you look at it, you focus. Now, my thing about it is you focus on that. And I always say focus. You just focus on it, and it comes back. You know who it is. You do. Whether it's a female, you get that. And what it is it's a feeling. But a lot of times, almost every time, I'll focus on it, on the picture or the foot, and I'll see them walking. I'll see what they're doing at the time that I'm trying to communicate with them. And then a lot of times they'll go up and they'll say, hey, you know, they'll go, leave me alone. And then I say, well, okay. And then I think they feel who I am, and they start talking a little more. And then, you know, a lot of them say, you're welcome to come visit anytime and stuff like that. I get that a lot. But I really do believe that, like, in dream state, there's a dream state. And I believe that I have tons of Bigfoot friends. And I talk to them. And so I've had, you know, some of them tell me that I was down in Charleston one time, and I recognized that I had been somewhere there before. I said, wow, I think I've been here before. And I was. I was down there with some foots, and I was at some, it was a party or something like that. And he said, I asked him, I said, well, who are you? And the thing is I have no memory of this. And it's really odd. I mean, I think they strike the memory from you because they don't want to divulge, give anything else the information. But he said we were friends. So, I got to believe that. And I sincerely believe that I have Bigfoot friends. And I sincerely believe that the person that I am now, I am totally different when I'm with the Bigfoot. I mean, it's your higher self, if you want to call it that. But I believe that sincerely. And, like maybe I'm the opposite of what I am. And, you know, it's just I've seen myself in dream state. There was a Bigfoot walking in front of me, and I told him, I said, hey, you look about the size of a football player. His calf was about as big as my torso. I mean, he was huge. And I was walking behind him trying to keep up to him. Just,
those are certainly interesting. Those are certainly interesting reflections and everything. Chris, do you have a question or comment for Pat?
I do. So, Pat, I wanted to go – sorry to kind of change the subject, but I wanted to go back to something you said very, very early on when you hopped on about walking into the attic and the things that you would see in your mind.
Yeah.
Did that happen – that happened multiple times with you? With seeing the stuff like that?
I think so. I would go up there, and it was just blood and gore in your mind. It would rush mm-hmm. through your mind, and it just wasn't very good to, I guess, think about, or, you know, it goes through your mind.
Right.
You know, I would – a lot of times I'd sit in be in the bedroom, and I had this ringing in my ears, and I would take my finger and try to close my ear as tight as I could so I wouldn't hear it, you know. But mm-hmm. when I was young, it wasn't Parkinson's. It wasn't really anything. I was shaking, and I think it was more of a hidden memory that
mm-hmm.
maybe post-traumatic stress disorder that I had no memory of. I know where I met the Bigfoot. The Bigfoot I met down the river, and they struck memory of that because I guess I was kind of, you know, it's kind of terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And to Robin, and we kind of confirmed that's what happened. I mean, I was basically abducted. I know where I is in the woods. I looked up at the craft, and I remember being put on the table or the stretcher or whatever it was, and then starting to work on my head. So,
holy smokes.
Yeah.
And that was just, when you were younger?
Robin helped me remember that, the abduction. Mm-hmm. But a lot of this stuff is just like, if they don't want you to remember it, you're not going to. And you need maybe somebody to kind of help, and but I do, she helped me remember, and I do remember looking up at the ship, and I do remember this is my kid voice saying leave me alone. And I had a dream one night, and I heard my kid voice again saying leave mm-hmm. me alone, and it was my voice. And I know this happened, and a lot of this stuff is just so, I'll just say, bizarre. And
it is, but I feel like when you talk about it, though, you put it in a way that it helps me understand. And the reason I asked about, you know, your experience with the attic is you made me start thinking, because a lot of times driving down the road, I have had these, I guess you would call it an image, where you see an accident happening, and it's almost like you see it step by step by step play out. And sometimes, you know, it's violent. And
well,
I'm
maybe
almost wondering,
in that area,
is that a
Chris,
form? Something's happened.
Well, maybe in that area, you're picking up energy, a past energy, that there was mm-hmm. indeed an accident that happened there. But this is goes along with this whole thing that we deal with. There's no manual for this. And you've got a lot of times you're just left with more questions than answers. And you get that a lot. You do. And there are times where, you know, I get every day I get something called my name. I'll go to work. The other day I was at work, and the Bigfoot call Robin Mom. I was out in the foyer. I heard Mom. And I came home one day. They call me Dad. They call Robin Mom. They call me Dad. And they come up, and it was a total telepathy. He says, Dad, I think he said, Dad, we need Mom. There was a female foot. She was really old. They wanted Robin to ease her pain. And she helped, and she eased the pain of the Bigfoot. It could be at any time, I get this stuff. I mean, I've had times where I've seen the shotgun blast,
mm-hmm.
and I felt it of a Bigfoot being shot, and seeing the gun going off, and this is when I was driving on my job, and I'm sitting there going through all this, and I'm like contacting Robin, and it's just, some of this stuff is just really, really wild, and you can't feel physically how he's feeling, but you can,
mm-hmm.
that he's having trouble breathing, because you can feel it. A lot of times, mm-hmm. when they contact me, I'll ask them, well, what's wrong? Can you show me? And they show me. A lot of times they'll show me what was wrong. It'd be just like, boom. They'll show me their heart, or I'll see their heart. And I'll see what's wrong with it. That doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it does. And it's all by, telepathy. And like I said, people keep on trying to, my friend Josh Pierce, he keeps on urging me to, and Robin too, to write a book. And mm-hmm. I know Chris wants me to write one, but I just don't really have the time to do it, because that's just how it is, I guess. The only thing I got done was the preface. That's it. And that was months ago.
When you get contacted like that, did these things just come to you randomly? It's not anything you're thinking about. It's just, bam, all of a sudden.
Yeah, you're not.
You know what's happening.
You're not, for example, I was at this is in Michigan, the Wolverine mm-hmm. Boot Factory. It's ridiculous, but it's true. So I'm out there, and then this ET, he's on another planet, and he needed help. And I can't remember what he said, but I heard exactly. I mean, it was just like, boom, it was clear as day. And mm-hmm. I heard him, and he was an ET from another planet. I remember that. And he was fighting for the Earth. So I don't know if he was on another planet or if he was on this planet, but he needed some aid. And that was just like, it was just like randomness. You know, it's like
mm-hmm.
you're doing something and you're doing your boot job and you're making a boot. And then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. That's how it happens.
This is Dr. John. I mean, these are amazing stories. We're kind of running out of time, but let me ask you something. Could you come back next week to kind of finish up what you have started? Because I think you've opened a lot of doors for us, for people
I mean, this is very interesting. I mean, there is no difference in what you experience than what Mary Shelley experienced when she wrote Frankenstein or when Shakespeare wrote Romeo and Juliet. They have these ideas in their head. They write them down. They become alive. They become insanely popular. I want you to answer a question for me point blank, Pat. How can there be any difference between Shakespeare writing Romeo and Juliet and you telling us these stories?
It's what they experienced.
That's right. It's like...
Yeah, they experienced, you know, like, I mean, this is another thing that, you know, I've read, and you guys should possibly read it, and it's the alien interview of the Roswell alien, and it's on Audible, and you can download the transcript, but, you know, if you don't have enough time to read it, you can listen to it while you drive, but I'm telling you, this thing, it really, I mean, it is way out there, but a lot of it makes sense. And if you listen to it, his name is All. And, you know, you got the nurse that talks to the alien. She was the only one that he or she wanted to talk to, because it said she felt that he had no inhibitions to, you know, kind of hurt him and stuff like that. She had absolutely nothing, no inhibitions to, you know, hurt him or anything. So that's who he chose to talk to. But, you know, they basically talked about, you know, the history of Earth, and it's kind of neat. I mean, I won't go into it. I just thought I'd mention that because it kind of really, it's really out there, at least.
All right. Hey, Pat, would you please send me a link or at least a little more information on that? I would like to take a look.
Yeah, I will.
This week.
I'll send you the – do you have Audible?
No, but I can get it.
No, but I'll try to look up the transcript, the PDF, and I'll send it to you. But it has all that on there.
I'd like to see it because, in fact, I'd like to send it to our friend Don LeMay and let him see it. And we'll go from there. So I want to say thank you very much for – I hope Robin's okay. I hope the emergency's over. And we have really enjoyed you talking. And would you mind coming back next week to finish up the job that Salt and Pepper started? It's been great having you on here. Would you be okay to come back?
Yeah, I could come back next week if you want. Yeah, that's fine.
We'd love to have you. And Dr. Trey Dunaway?
Awesome.
Thank you for being a great scary caster. And
thank you
for being a great scary caster. And we'll see everybody next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, 9 p.m. Eastern on ScaryCast, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And don't anybody laugh. Have a good one, and thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Everybody
bye.
Say goodbye.
See you later.
What? No. Who wants me? Wants me next week, Paige. And.